This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
Let's get over to Matt Graham. He's dialed in. There. Do you have a good Christmas, Matt?
Yeah, definitely. A different Christmas, right?
Yeah. What's your report today on what's going on in the economic?
Well, I mean, Les covered it. I'm devastated. It's like he got in my head and said exactly what I was going to say to close with today. But I'll put a little bit of a different spin on it or flesh it out a little bit. But yeah, that is going to be sort of the warning. One that I have delivered previously and will probably reiterate today is that we've been largely lulled into a bit of a false sense of security. One might even say we're setting up to get hoodwinked or sucker punched by the market for a few logical reasons, but reasons we haven't had to deal with before. So it's going to be all the more surprising for a lot of people who have gotten very used to the ability of the mortgage market to completely ignore the broader bond market. And again, we can and account for the reasons that has occurred, and they're all very logical, and it's just as logical that they are not permanent. So I'll talk about that at the end here real quick, a little bit of a teaser to get people to stay tuned in for the rest of the segment. So last week, kind of an interesting week, despite it being shorter than normal. I'll cover last week real quick. First up, right out of the gate, over the weekend, the buzz was this new COVID strain. And you probably heard about it from your friends. People sent links. It really gathered a lot of momentum by Sunday. And that was definitely apparent in market on Monday morning. Stocks had tanked. Bond yields were much lower. And it lasted maybe a few hours before some scientific type people said, hey, this new strain is going to respond just the same to the vaccine. So everybody go about your business. And that's what markets did. We bounced back up to previous levels. And thus the holiday shortened week began in typical uneventful holiday shortened fashion with bonds holding fairly steady. There was a fair amount of economic data on tap Tuesday and Wednesday. Here's a quick rundown. GDP, roughly as expected, 33.4 versus 33.1. Existing home sales stayed stellar. They are not screaming to new long-term highs, but they are holding extremely high levels overall. Core PCE, the inflation metric that the Fed wants to see running between 2 and 2.5%, came in at 1.4%, which was a tenth lower than expected. Jobless claims recovered a little bit, down to 803 versus 885 previously. Durable goods, probably the headliner of the week from a street cred standpoint from economic data. That came in a little bit better than expected, 0.9 versus 0.6, and the previous month was revised up to 1.8 from 1.3. Yeah. So that sounds pretty good. But there's an internal component of that called core CapEx, which strips out some of the more volatile components, and that came in a little bit lower than expected. So offsetting penalties back to repeat first down. Home prices, really, really impressive here. FHFA home prices anyway, 10.2% year over year.
That's astonishing. I just was amazed at that number.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the reasons we had such a nice increase in conforming loan limits, and that was up from 9.1% last month. And these are annualized numbers, by the way. But breaking into double digits in a year is something we haven't done since the housing market was arguably on an unsustainable path. So some people might start to wonder if that's going to be the case again, but I don't necessarily have an opinion. I think that, you know, prices have been squeezed by the uncommon circumstances surrounding COVID. New home sales, however, fell finally, and in a fairly big way relative to what they've been doing. If you compared the report we got last week to any other month that we've had apart from maybe the previous month, it would be among the highest we've seen. And last but not least, consumer sentiment came in at 80.7 versus 81.3. So no major suggestion or indication there. Markets closed early on Thursday and then were fully closed on Friday, obviously. The big news after that COVID stuff was COVID-related stimulus. And that's been a big deal for the bond market for a long time. Stimulus is paid for with treasury issuance. Treasury issuance creates more supply, supply-demand 101. When you have more of it, then prices go down. And when bond prices go down, yields go up. Bond markets know this, and they knew stimulus was coming. If not this week, then early next year. And it didn't have a big impact as to short-term volatility, but there was a little bit of movement left due to the confirmation. So So markets can prepare for something almost completely, but they tend to save a little bit of extra momentum once the thing itself is ultimately confirmed. And I think heading into the weekend, they were waiting to see what was up with this veto threat. And when Trump signed the bill yesterday, we did have a little bit of extra weakness coming into the domestic session this morning. And treasuries are still weaker as a result. Treasuries could also be a little bit weaker due to the auction cycle. And we've actually already had two of the auctions already. So that's interesting because normally we have Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are your normal Treasury auction days. But due to this being another holiday week, we had both the two-year and the five-year auction the day already. And the seven-year will happen tomorrow. That'll be the end of the auction cycle. It's not uncommon on these low liquidity weeks to see bonds being a little bit more defensive and hesitant heading into the auction and then to sort of breathe a sigh of relief on the other end. So 1 p.m. tomorrow after the seven-year auction, we might look to see what's going on with the bond market to see if there's an inexplicable level of strength shining through. So this week, holiday shortened again. Here's what we got going on. You got Case-Shiller home prices coming up tomorrow, and those are expected to increase as well, although they do things a little differently than FHFA, so not quite as big of an increase. That consumer confidence seen coming in just a bit better than last time. On Wednesday, we have Chicago PMI forecast at 57 versus 58.2 previously. Chicago PMI is an important report. Some have suggested that it does a good job of mirroring nationwide economic conditions as opposed to just the Chicago Federal Reserve District. And then we have pending home sales the same morning, expected to stay flat after losing a little bit of ground last month. But there again, that's a report that has been outstanding. So really, any weak home sales is pretty much just an incidental fizzling after an epic fireworks display this year. Another early close on Thursday, fully closed on Friday, and month/year-end trading. So this is an interesting little market mover, not super easy for everybody to understand, but it's a good piece of trivia here as well. So there are different types of traders, different types of accounts that trade with different motivations. One of the key market movers for the bond market is money managers that have to reallocate their holdings based on what their people are investing. So if you click the low risk, high risk, whatever kind of box on your 401k or your managed fund, then these money managers have to go in and adjust their holdings accordingly. The key fund that does that for bonds is the Barclays Aggregate Treasury Index. And heading into the end of any given month, the index itself will publish updates as to what the duration needs to be for bond holdings if you're holding that index. And then those money managers set about selling, buying, whatever they need to sell and buy to get their average duration to line up with what the index extension says it needs to be. And that can have an impact on trading in the bond market for no other apparent reason. Things could move relatively briskly and you might say, oh, what's causing this? Or you might see an economic report that just came out and blame that, even though it is instead the fact that you have this month-end trading going on that is sort of an unseen hand moving the market. And when you're at the end of a quarter or the end of a year, that can get even bigger. Now, money managers aside, you can have balance sheet considerations where certain firms are trying to show a bigger cash position at the end of the year. They might do that by selling super liquid stuff like treasuries. So that can be another reason that bonds would be moving at the end of the year. This year, it seems like we're really settling into a very narrow sideways range. To Les's point, you know, 1.0 or maybe on a more modal standpoint, 0.96 would be the ceiling that we've been bouncing at time and again. And our ability to hold under that ceiling in 10-year treasury yields has been nothing short of impressive. Really nice support there. It's nice for now, but the thing that I'm worried about, and to go back to the warning I alluded to at the beginning, is that treasuries have been telling a story ever since the beginning of August. And the story they're telling is a logical story, and it's the story that we're all rooting for on a personal level, which is the end of COVID. And assuming everything goes according to plan with vaccines and whatnot, then treasuries have been doing exactly what we would expect them to do, which is rising very gradually and in a very linear way in yield, weakening weaker bond markets since August. And it's like a straight line. You can't really overemphasize just how linear this channel is. That's what we call these railroad tracks that you put around a chart of higher highs and higher lows. So in any other year, at any other time, Dave, this would be like a big cause for concern for mortgage rates. In fact, we would expect to see mortgage rates rising throughout that time. Instead, what have we had? Mortgage rates falling to all-time low after all-time low. Okay, that's odd. Here's Treasury saying we're supposed to be going in the other direction. I know we talked about this before, but maybe not everybody's heard it. And the reason for that, twofold. Number one, MBS have been outperforming Treasuries significantly. And part of the reason they outperformed at first was because they underperformed back in March and had some ground to cover. But then as Treasury yields got super low and stayed super low, MBS represented a good value proposition to investors looking for higher yields, but still with the implicit government guarantee, even on Fannie and Freddie stuff, due to the conservatorship, and that kept foreign participation really solid. And then on top of that value proposition for yields, you also had the Fed seemingly extremely committed to the mortgage market and not really showing any signs that they're worried that they're buying too much, even though there are signs of that in the MBS market that would take quite a long time to discuss. But anyway, you had the Fed and you had investor demand creating MBS outperformance, meaning MBS were holding steady or even sometimes improving, even as treasuries were weakening. That's uncommon. And it helped mortgage rates. The other thing that helped mortgage rates is lender margin. That's the big one. Simply put, lenders weren't able to lower rates as quickly as MBS said they could, and just due to capacity constraints. You know, you lower rates too much, a couple bad things happen, your service suffers, you might have lock fallout. And lock fallout is the big one. So if you're lowering rates so quickly that the people you just refied all of a sudden turn around and want to refi again, now you're really hurting the value of the MBS that you're trying to sell, because investors are relying on a certain number of months of interest payments in order to have the price that they're willing to pay make sense. At any rate, lenders can only lower their rates as quickly as makes sense in terms of capacity. The cushion, it's been a well of outperformance, a well of immunity that the MBS and mortgage rates specifically have had against rising rates in treasury yields. But that well is not running dry, but is running low. And it's been getting small enough that people need to understand that if you've been looking at treasuries and looking at mortgage rates and thinking, oh, we're fine, mortgage rates are invincible, they're not. That will change early in 2021. Now, it could be a couple of weeks into 2021, could be a month, maybe two, but it is going to change. And then we're going to see a more traditional relationship between treasuries and mortgage rates. The only saving grace would be that this is so obvious and the rising rate trend in treasuries is so obvious that sometimes we see traders do the counterintuitive thing just because something is so obvious. Not everybody can make money if everybody's betting in the same direction. So if treasuries happen to improve as a result of this sort of bet making and position taking, then of course mortgage rates are going to be able to hold more steady, possibly even improve a bit more, because there is a bit more cushion that lenders could use to push rates lower to keep their pipelines full if they need to do that. It's a dire warning, not a bad warning to have when you're looking at rates in the mid 2% range, but a warning nonetheless.
Yeah, still going to have overall lower rates as we head into the new year. Should be low.
We're holding steady at the very least for into the new year, no question. And we could even eke out a few more gains, but increasing resistance from here on out.
Yeah, headwinds start picking up. Good job. Appreciate it, Matt, very much.
Happy holidays all around.
Check out Matt's website, mbslive.net, and then I recommend you subscribe if you haven't already done so. Many of our LOL listeners have written me and said, hey, love this new website. Thanks for having Matt on. And they all appreciate the extended trial period. If you put in LOL, and no credit card is required. Thanks so much, Matt. Folks, have a great and happy new year. Thank you goes out to our sponsors, Finastra, as well as the Community Mortgage Lenders Association of America, as well as Indicom, Accelerate Mobility RE, and Modex. Check out all of our sponsors on our sponsorship page. Have a great week, everybody. Appreciate you, and happy new year.
You've been listening to Licken on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Licken of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.